The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, when I was a young fella, artificial intelligence, I thought, would be much more entertaining than it has actually become. I wanted a robot to do the dishes. We have ended up with all sorts of things that are interacting in our lives in ways that we couldn't possibly have fathomed. And the government, like everybody else, is trying to work out what to do with it. Now, the good news is there is an AI advisory council, and they are meeting and they're saying, well, yeah, Irish government needs to do a little bit more to be effective in the policies that are coming forward. Professor Barry O'Sullivan of the School of Computer Science and IT at University College Cork is a member of that council. He's with us now. Hiya, Barry.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. It is a kind of, it's a bit of a race at the moment between nations and, most importantly, businesses as to how to use AI well.
Well, there's certainly a sense of urgency. I'm not sure whether there needs to be that sense of urgency, but there certainly is that people do talk in terms of races, especially between countries. You know, the countries are seeing AI very much as a kind of a national security or sovereignty thing, and that they must really be ahead of the game. And so, you know, the UK and the US and China and all these countries are putting huge amounts of money into it to stay ahead, so to speak.
Little old Ireland, though, kind of relies on other bigger children to look after it in the playground. Is that a good policy?
I suppose it is what it is to some extent. What I mean by that is we certainly do, like a lot of European countries, depend on, you know, the US and other countries to provide us with the technology that we use in, you know, many aspects of our lives today. Of course, it would be much better for everybody if they could develop the technologies that they use. I think that goes right across the board. But at the end of the day, there is a sort of a magnitude of investment that is beyond most nations. And when you look at who the big names and who the big companies are in the AI space, there's actually not that many of them, the really, really big ones. Mm. But that's not to say that AI can't, that Ireland can't be doing some great things. And of course, there are, you know, some really great AI companies in Ireland.
Yeah, no, there are. Look, NVIDIA, I know it's not here, but Joe Linen mentioned this morning that that's now become the world's richest company. It's overtaken Apple again, and they're very much developing chips that will drive this AI revolution going forward. Revolutions tend to cause disruption, though, Barry. And what will happen inevitably is that people will be squeezed from roles because AI will do a job that they previously did. How do we prevent that from having a negative impact on the economy?
So, believe it or not, this sort of narrative that AI will take people's jobs is one that's
really quite waiting old. For it to produce radio presenters. I was going to say producers there, but I got a horrified look from behind the glass. I meant presenters.
I know. So, this narrative that this technology is advancing so quickly that's going to, you know, replace all sorts of things, that really hasn't happened in you know, in the 50 years that people have been saying that. You know, there are, of course, people who say that this is going to happen and are very confident about that. But we haven't really seen that happening on a grand scale. And what I mean by that is people actually find themselves out of work and nothing else is available for them. That doesn't tend to happen. One thing that's happened since the dawn of technology is that the world's population has grown larger and larger and larger. And every day we hear that companies are crying out for workers, they're crying out for skills. So, you know, the idea that we're going to enter some sort of phase of unemployment just isn't going to happen.
Mm. No, but the challenge will come from. So, you know, we very heavily invested in pharma in the 70s and 80s, and that was great because we were producing the drugs, and then others started producing the drugs. So then we moved to active ingredient and we had a skill at that and that was fantastic. And then the active ingredients were moved out somewhere else and then we had to move into biotechnology. So there's always going to be a constant evolution, but we don't necessarily have a full grounding in AI. That tends to be in countries that are already competing with our economic powerhouse here in Ireland. So how do we get on board the train?
Well, I think that's a very good point. And what we have to do here is make sure that there's every opportunity for everybody to be educated and become literate and skilled in what AI is and what it isn't. And I think what universities and schools and all sorts of skills groups need to be providing sort of training courses and opportunities where people can upskill themselves in this new technology. And there's lots of opportunities there. You know, Ireland has is probably one of the most well-served nations in what are called enterprise digital innovation hubs. These are hubs where you can go and you can effectively get training for free because these guys are trained for
but
doing
what,
that.
What about, that's grand for young people. What about old fellas who might find themselves towards the end of a career and all of a sudden they're being made redundant and they feel like they've missed out?
And this is one of the big worries that I have about how are we going to make sure that AI is inclusive, that everybody is part of it. And of course, there's people who are older and more mature in their career. They might not be very tech literate, very, very computer literate. I think the big challenge for Ireland is how do we make sure that everybody has the opportunity and is included in the upside that AI can provide Ireland. And I think that's really important for a whole bunch of reasons. It's important for the employability as jobs change, which jobs always change in the face of technology. As jobs change, how do we make sure that the people who are impacted, you know, have something else, you know, are prepared for that they can, that the new opportunity in their role is something that they can step into? How do we make sure that those people can move into other roles, and not just, you know, maybe those who are on the more mature end of the spectrum, but also those who don't have access because of socioeconomic reasons? How do we make sure that those people can participate, and that AI is this kind of rising tide that raises every boat and not just makes a small number of very wealthy companies even wealthier and leaves the rest of us behind? And I think that's the real race. How do we make sure that everybody is participating and gets the benefit out of something that could be enormously beneficial if done right?
I love the way that I use the phrase out loud. You said more mature end of the spectrum, and that's why you're a university professor and I'm not. Barry, the other side of this, the one good thing that comes out of AI is that it is brilliant at taking in a massive amount of data, making sense of it and spitting out a result. The real benefit there would be in the public service, because they have a sea of data that they're constantly trying to wade through. The real adopter here should be the state. How quickly do you think they can do it? And how much resistance might there be amongst a cohort that would see themselves as very protected?
I think the delivery of public services is a great opportunity for AI. And as you say, they have the data. It's a way of making sure that everybody in society benefits from the technology. So there are lots of applications in the public service that apply AI. One of the most advanced departments in government, I think, is the Department of Agriculture. You know, they're going out and measuring all sorts of, they've got data sets that are incredible for fisheries, for crops, for livestock. And they provide that externally to people to build services and build products on it. So I think government have the opportunity not just to introduce tools and services themselves, but to really incentivize a whole bunch of companies and industries in Ireland that could that can really advance the state of the art in this in Ireland and really sort of set us apart from other nations. I think Ireland really should be, when it comes to things like public procurement for, you know, a new technology for or a new system for whatever it might be, for tourism or something, I think that they should really incentivize in some way companies who are coming to the table with a good AI solution. And there are ways of doing that. You know, there are, internationally in Finland and other places, Estonia, there are mechanisms where young innovators are really incentivized to think in terms of, well, how can we do something really impactful from an AI point of view, but something that's also societally aware. So I think government is really well placed for that. Of course, on the other side, on public services, the other challenge with public services is, of course, the government does have an asymmetry of power when it comes to, you know, the person on the street and the state. You know, the state has very strong powers, as it should have, you know, in society. And it's important that governments and public services are seen to do things in the most ethical and trustworthy and transparent way
and provide leadership in that context. Professor
Absolutely.
Barry O'Sullivan, School of Computer Science and IT at UCC, a member of the government's AI Advisory Council. Thank you very much indeed. Friday.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.